goody, here it comes.
Welcome to the Cinema Psycho Show.
You are interested in the unknown, the mysterious, the unexplainable. That is why you are here.
Oh my God, don't stop now!
With your hosts, Ryan, John, and Elaine.
Welcome to the Cinema Psycho Show, the madhouse for film freaks and film fans of all types. I'm your host, Brian Condon, joined my fellow co-host and filmmaker, John Woolscroft. No Lane today.
No Lane. April Fool's.
April Fool's.
Got you.
Gotcha. Yeah, so happy almost April Fool's Day.
April Fool's Eve.
Or possibly April Fool's Day. We don't ever know. It might come out on April Fool's itself, or it could come out the day before. Never know.
Yeah, you never know.
You never know. That's it's a mystery. So we're on episode 135, and we're going to be looking at the 1986 classic, April Fool's Day.
I think that's actually possibly a fair statement. In terms of slasher movies,
yes.
This one, it's unique, it's different, it's well made, so...
It is.
I would put it up there with Black Christmas and Halloween, and not just because they're all holiday-themed movies.
I would say this movie absolutely does get the spirit of the holiday.
Yeah.
So, now, you might be saying, well, Brian, didn't you guys do an April Fool's Day episode last year? Yeah. And yes, we did. You might have not have known that, but it was our review of the classic
Frodrick
Got Fingered. And I've had people ask me, like, what the fuck was up with that episode?
Well, I had the other way. Like, some people were like, yeah, it took me till the very end to realize that you guys were kidding. I'm like, okay, here's two things that really bother me about that. A, you thought I was such an unbelievable twat, but also B, that I was that oblivious to how horrible this movie was. I was like saying it was the most impactful thing before 9/11.
Yeah.
You like thought I was serious? Yeah, so we were tricksters last year.
We were tricksters last year. But honestly, like a friend of mine said, yeah, I honestly for the first 30 minutes thought it was real. I thought it was real. And I think it was when we were talking about the sausages and how that's, I don't know what we said. I think it was something like,
The ding and dong.
The ding and dong. He expertly said it. You know, like, I think that was what, it's like, yeah, once you said that, I was over the edge. I'm like, really? 30 minutes in and you thought it was legit? We've decided to go more tongue-in-cheek this year with just a straight-up April Fool's Day review.
Instead of just repeating last year's, which was, you know, we thought, well, why don't we do the actual movie called April Fool's
Day? Right. And I never seen this. I known about this movie for being kind of like the gotcha trickster movie in a sea of either good or shitty slasher movies. Because I think that's what we've said before, is like the 80s were the decade of the slasher film, both good and bad.
Yeah, what, like 84 to 90?
Yeah.
Is that a fair?
Yeah. I think Leprechaun kind of closes out that time, which Leprechaun was what, 93?
Hello, Jen Aniston, goodbye, slashers.
Yes, that was it. I think that literally like stopped it.
Yeah. And then shortly after, goodbye, Jennifer Aniston's nose.
Yeah, pretty much. Goodbye, high tops. Goodbye, Jennifer Aniston's nose.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, this, it was in a sea of those types of movies. And, you know, I think it is, it's also a sign that maybe the genre's running a little thin.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's kind of what I thought was. Once you start making fun of yourself, that's when the genre starts running thin.
And it's like comic book movies now, because there was like at least 4 to 5 slasher movies a year.
Yes.
And, you know, some big like Nightmare on Elm Street played around the country. And then there are some that maybe only played like in certain parts of the country, or only in 100 theaters nationwide. You only found them on VHS tape in your local video store after the fact. Like, I didn't hear about this one. But yeah, there are a lot of these horror movies that have, like, they make them unique. Like, the dorm whose walls ran with blood, or I can't remember the name of that movie, but that was one of the few movies where the last girl dies.
Yes.
So, you know, and, like, it's like, oh, that stands out, and that's unique for that reason, or unique for this reason. This one has a big twist, which, you know, we kind of gave away, but we'll get there. I mean, it's called April Fool's.
So it's also been around since 1986, so
yeah.
Obviously... This isn't new.
Yeah. This is a Biff Tannen is super young in this.
Biff Tannen's in it. Yo, yeah. Right off of Back to the Future.
Yeah.
Right off of Back to the Future. But so, yeah, the plot of this, and again, I want to try to give a kind of a synopsis because it said we butcher the synopsis or synopsi of these sorts of things. So 9 college students staying at a friend's remote island mansion begin to fall victim to an unseen murder over the April Fool's Day weekend.
Because apparently that's a weekend, like the holiday weekend you get away for.
No.
Yeah. Just, you don't get that Monday off.
Arbor Day. You don't get that day off. Okay. April Fool's Day. Like, I my guess is like this is spring break.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like spring break in college kind of can either fall during March or can fall during Easter time. So,
right.
So, like, I guess that's kind of it, you know?
That just happened to be like this around the same time.
The same time. And yeah, we're introduced to 9 of the biggest cliches I've ever seen.
Like, you know, thankfully, though, they were like funny and kind of fun to be around. They weren't just death fodder. I mean, they were cliched as fuck.
But they
were
cliched.
This is the kind of movie we're watching.
Yes. You
know? We know that we're not going to get like deep into the psyches of these characters.
Right, right. No, you're right. Yeah. So do we want to start going down the line of who these characters are?
Say, do you have IMDb pulled up?
I do.
I cannot remember any of their names.
I do.
Okay. Yeah.
So we're first introduced to who we got here? We got, Nikki. She's the first person we see.
Yeah.
Nikki, the sex pot preppy chick.
Yeah, and like, I don't know, bad casting for the sex pot character, but Lane's not here this week, so let the testosterone run.
Yeah.
But anyways, yeah.
But yeah, Nikki is she's like, I also fuck on the first date.
Yeah. Yeah, because it's like they're shooting it on VHS camcorder because we got like that one character from the sitcom who has the video camera going around.
Of course. He's the film guy.
Yeah.
That's the film guy pervert.
But it doesn't seem like he wants to be a film student. He just like his dad bought him a camcorder and now he's a real shutterbug. You know?
Yeah. And that guy is Clayton Rohner. And he was a fixture in the 80s. Yeah. You remember him? Because he was in Just One of the Guys.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
The Comedy Central had that movie, and I accidentally saw it like 12 times.
Yeah. I mean, it's a movie that I don't think you could make now.
No.
But yeah, he plays Chaz, and he's the film guy pervert.
Yeah.
You know, who, you know, carries around smut magazines because reasons.
Because it's a quick way to get boobies. And
I guess
back, none of your actresses having to show their boobies.
I guess when it's like you didn't have your phone that you could look up pornography on, you know, on the fly, on demand. You actually had to carry around your porn with you.
What's the only thing worse than your suitcase falling open and all your porn falling out? You're like, you know what? I'm just going to be upfront about it and carry my porn so that like nobody, you know.
Yeah. So you've got Chaz, who's the porn, you know, pervert film guy, walking around with the camera, filming everybody. You've also got you've got Biff, who plays Arch.
Leader of Biffco Industries.
Yeah, leader of Biffco Industries. Donald Trump impersonator on weekends. You know, and he plays like your preppy not really bully character.
I don't even know what the hell he was supposed to be.
He was just supposed to be like a meathead preppy kid.
A goofy
kid.
Meathead. Like the smartest football player.
The smartest football player. That's the best word for it. But yeah, he's... And it's funny because like I think you... With a character like Biff in Back to the Future, you can't see him in anything else other than playing Biff.
It sucks because that was like his first movie.
That was his first movie, and that's the only thing I see him as.
Yeah.
So like when I'm watching this, I'm like, well, he's not an asshole. I mean, he's just kind of like a meathead jock guy.
When I met him,
you actually met him?
Yeah. And it was a huge line to meet him. Everybody had Back to the Future paraphernalia. It's like, well, he knows what he's here for, you know?
Right.
You know,
but yeah. So he plays like the meathead character who. I guess he has a thing for the main, I guess you could say, call her the protagonist and antagonist, because they kind of do both, Muffy.
Muffy Buffy.
Yeah. Muffy Buffy.
Well, he had it for anything that was warm and willing. Let's be fair.
Yes, I think that is correct.
At one point when Muffy was like, I have to go to bed, he just started going room to room looking for Snooch. He was.
So yeah, here's the thing for Muffy, who, you know, you get that there's something off about her from the start.
Considering she has like what your mom calls like a vagina. Like, oh, hi, Muffy. What kind of fucking name is Muffy?
Well, they even say that. They even say, like, yeah. I couldn't believe that Muffy was her real name. Like, who in their right mind decides to curse their child to forever being a euphemism for a vagina? That's like saying, oh, yes, well, your name is going to be Cock. Yeah. Cock, son.
Well, we named our one daughter Buffy. Why should we name the other one? Well, it has to rhyme. Duffy? Nah, not Duffy, no. Muffy? Yeah,
there you go. That's it. We couldn't name her Pussy, so I guess we're going to go with Muffy. So yeah, we've got Muffy.
We need her oldest Vulva.
Yeah. Her sister Vulva. her dog Clit.
No, don't sniff that poop, Clit.
Clit's up my leg. Okay, so anyway, you could tell Lane's not here. Muffy is really excited that all of her friends are coming over. And I don't really think all these people are friends.
No, like, some of these five people have no idea who the other ones are.
Some of them are just fucking strangers.
Yeah.
That all seem to know Muffy. It kind of reminded me a little bit of Clue.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, like the movie Clue.
And
like,
they end up having that dinner scene.
Yes.
In the movie, yeah.
It's like everybody knows Mr. Body or is somehow tied to Mr. Body, but nobody knows each other.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know, everyone's coming to Muffy's mansion home on an island. Okay.
But she like inherited this.
She's going to inherit it. Yeah.
Which is so weird because it's like early April and this is, you know, the East Coast.
It's cold.
Yeah, and they're jumping in the water like, oh, how refreshing. No, that bone-chillingly cold.
Yeah.
Like, do not jump in that water.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, honestly, like, this is the East Coast. Yeah. It's not California.
Because she's like, oh, across the river, you can see the Kennedy. So this is like either Connecticut or Massachusetts.
Right. You know, and so honestly, with a name like Muffy, my guess is Massachusetts.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. You know, so she's setting up this house and she's like, I have to make sure everything's perfect. And I guess her like maid or something like that is like, I could stay. And you get the feeling that there's something more nefarious to this than just, I've got to clean the house, you know, because she starts to kind of zone out on a Jack in the Box and really starts, like, you're like, why is she zoning out on a Jack Box? That was my first question, is what it is about the Jack in the Box that makes her like trip out, you know?
Well, and there's all this time in like the basement too, where like we linger for a really long time, and they would have yelled cut unless they're trying to like make sure you look around, you know, look at all this stuff.
And I guess it's supposed to be like the Jack in the Box represents the joke, April Fools.
Yeah,
you know,
it's a Necronomicon. It is. Gonna open it up.
Exactly. Yeah. So you know, we get all these group of friends together, and I'm missing a lot of them. So you got like the Texan Harvey.
Yeah, Harvey, but my friends call me Hal.
Yeah. And I just want to get with Muffy so I can get a job.
What is it, I want to plow your field?
I want to plow your field.
Yeah.
Well, he tells Nikki he wants to plow her field.
Yeah.
You know, this is the 80s, folks.
Yeah. And about five others.
Five others are in there. There's Rob and Kit. And as I said,
not the car. I know it's the 80s, but not from Knight Rider.
Yeah. And I guess Nan,
the bread.
No, I think she was like the reserved blonde.
Yeah,
that was just there.
Muffy was already weird. Do we need like this character as well?
No,
because you think like, oh, the reserved kind of bookish one. She's going to be the one that survives.
Yes,
at the end, but she's not.
No, she's not.
Yeah,
she's not. So anyway, our cavalcade of goofy characters get on a ferry to get to the island. And it's there when we get our first little glimpse of horror. Right?
Yeah.
You want to talk about this?
Yeah, we get the fake out because they're playing this game where they throw a knife in the ground and like you have to reach for it without falling over.
Which made no sense to me.
Yeah. And the guy's okay with them just stabbing his boat. But
I was going to say, like, if that was my boat, I'd be like, you fucking assholes.
Quit stabbing my boat.
Quit stabbing my boat.
Yeah. But Biff gets annoyed with the game and he throws a knife to the guy and it stabs him in the stomach.
The guy is Muffy's cousin.
Yes. And he falls into the water and everybody goes in to save him. Turns out to be a big prank. He somehow...
Because April Fool's...
He had like a squib on.
He had an elaborate setup.
Yeah.
Like, and I just kept thinking to myself, like, how would you hide that knife in real time? Like in movie time, it's easy to do that. You know, you just cut the shot here. Oh, there. And then we pan over to the knife. But he had it like it's supposed to represent like in real time.
And what, you know, if you miss that throw too, like you miscalculate it or it doesn't stick, like it doesn't stick, the best case scenario. If you throw it too high and it's not in the part that he has protected,
or too low, and you're hitting his balls. Yeah.
But you get your first like April Fool's joke, and then they all get out of the water. But one guy ends up getting crushed by the boat as he's docking.
Yes.
And gets his eye all messed up.
I think that was Buck.
Yeah.
Buck was the guy, and everyone kept thinking, his eye was real fucked up too. Yeah. Like, it was phony fucked up. Like honestly, like, you look at it and you're just going, like, this is a terrible visual effect. But it's supposed to be real.
Well, it's great. And he's freaking out. And so the guy, like, the ferryman throws him into the boat to send him to shore to get him help. Like, he's horribly injured. They whip him into the boat.
Just get him out of here!
Yeah, because, like, the sheriff comes by and, like, has to take
the only constable
boat Muffy has to get him to shore.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
So we've basically set the parameters of there is no help. They're stuck on the island.
Yeah, the sheriff's gone. There's no way to communicate up to the shore.
Yes.
And the boat's gone.
Yes. And
sounds like a horror movie or something.
It does. A little bit.
Yeah.
I would be really angry if I found out none of these things were the actual consequences. You know?
Amazing if this movie just turned into The Big Chill after that.
What if it just turned into like a joke?
Yeah.
And I spent money on the ticket for that. So anyway, we then get introduced to, you know, Muffy and her, you know, mansion of tricks. And that's really what it is. It's a mansion of tricks. So they end up sitting down to have dinner. And it's really weird because she's got like sporks and little dolls that represent them.
Yeah.
Did you see that? Like,
yeah.
She's clearly not all there.
Not all there, no. And there's a lot of shenanigans that go
shenanigans,
down.
Shenanigans,
there's, like, chairs that collapse on themselves and exploding cigars. Because everybody's, like, getting real into the holiday weekend.
I guess.
Pranking each other back and forth.
I guess Muffy really loves pranks.
There's, like, a heroin spoon because I guess April Fools?
I thought that, too. I'm like, how is that a joke?
Yeah.
That just seems horrible. Like, and then, like, Harvey's room has a bunch of newspapers of a car accident.
And that's, like, that classic horror movie setup, but we're being swerved, bro, you know?
Yeah.
Like, oh, this is gonna, you know, pay off somehow.
Yeah. 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 So, and I know we're jumping around. And honestly, John, if you want to jump in and say, hey, you know, let's back up here.
Yeah.
Please tell me.
Yeah.
Because I'll be honest with you. I watched this movie today.
Yeah.
Like, I saw this morning before coming over to record, so I'm fresh.
Well, I mean, you know, this movie is a lot of fun.
Oh yeah,
but it's not overly complicated. Like,
no,
they all get together. You kind of get introduced to these characters, and they all start getting offed one by one.
Basically,
yeah,
yeah,
and you know, so it's like a typical slasher movie, and I mean. Part, you know, well, why are you guys talking about it? Well, first of all, fuck you. Don't question us. Secondly, you know, I mean, obviously it's for the holiday fair that it was offered for.
Right.
But also, you know, there is a little bit more to this movie. But, you know, they find the first guy who's doing that thing where everybody else is, like, getting laid or, like, in the room getting drunk. And he goes off in a horror movie by himself at night.
Yes.
Like, wandering.
Well, that's Muffy's cousin.
Yeah.
Who is, you know, really, like, upset. He could have possibly led to, you know, that guy, Buck, dying.
Yeah.
So
it seems like he's in his own movie, too.
He
does. Cut to him by himself, like, smoking cigars.
Well, he wasn't smoking cigars. He was drinking, I think.
Oh, yeah. He was pounding the jack
yeah, threw real
it in
hard.
The lake like a dick.
Why would you throw that? That was expensive, probably.
Well, he finished it, but he littered into the lake.
That is a dick right there.
Yeah.
You know, you don't do that. What about the fish at Nantucket Island? Okay, so the point is like he's going back to the dock.
He threw into Chappaquiddick.
So anyway, he's drinking his sorrows away while everyone else is fucking over in the mansion. And, you know, he then gets murdered, you know, in a way.
And our murderer in this movie is the no face murderer.
The no face or feet.
Like, whodunit? Like the Friday the 13th.
Yes.
You know, or that kind of, or Sleepaway Camp.
Yes.
Where you never see the face.
Either see feet. You see feet.
Or like the, like they get attacked and, you know.
They don't do the whole like POV, hey, who are you? Yeah. What do you want? Oh, it's
what are you doing here?
What are you doing here? You know, no, you've got just the feet.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's believed, at least, like, you know, once they discover his body, because I guess, who is it? Rob and his girlfriend, who I'm blanking on in terms of name.
They go into that, like, boathouse, and the boathouse
they go to boathouse
knocking,
to bone.
They're knocking, yeah.
They go to boathouse to bone, and they look
down
through the...
Oh, yeah, she puts a towel down on these, like, wooden planks, like, that'll do it. Now you're comfy.
Well, here's my thing, too. Here's my thing, too, about that. That is a dirty-ass boathouse.
Yeah.
Like, really. Dirty ass boathouse. There's probably hooks and fishing gear all over the place. Hey, like,
when you need to go to the bone zone, you need to go to the bone zone.
But you couldn't fuck in the ocean or the lake or whatever, like, or on the ground. Like,
look, we've all gotten it on in a Taco Bell bathroom. You know what I mean? Before Taco Bell.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Before Taco Bell, not after Taco Bell. But yeah, so anyway, they're going and going at it, and they look down through the boards, and they see his dead corpse
just float on
just
by,
floating by.
Hey, man!
Oh shit! Oh shit! That's where he's at. So they all freak out. They try. They can't get a hold. Do they try to get a hold of the constable at that point?
Yeah,
I don't think they do.
No, well, I think they run to their friends who are just like drinking brewskis and just chilling.
They're like, oh, he was just joking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, he's like, he's gray and waterlogged.
He's gray. I think our friend might have a problem. I think he's got a case of the dead.
And of course, like Cabin of the Woods style, like, you know, how they parodied this. Biff immediately goes, let's all split up.
Yes.
Go look for him.
That's true. So they all split up. Biff gets in the weirdest way. Like, his death is the weirdest thing. So he gets snared by a trap.
Yeah.
And then, like, a snake is raring to try to kill him.
No, there are no poisonous snakes.
There's no poisonous snakes.
In that area of the world, yeah.
No, there aren't. There aren't. And, like, it clearly doesn't have any markings to, like, show that it's poisonous, because most poisonous snakes will have some sort of markings.
Yeah.
And the snake is, like, ready to bite him, you know?
Yeah.
So, like, you've got the tension built with that, and then the feet show up, and then he's dead. But they don't actually show him dying. Yeah.
And that is a big giveaway with these movies, because they're sold on boobs and gore.
Yes.
And there are no boobs. But there's also, more importantly, there's no
gore. I was a little disappointed that there were no boobs. For an 80s slasher film.
But there's a couple magazine boobies, I guess.
That's not the same.
I don't want magazine boobs. But, you know, all the deaths are off camera.
Yes.
So it's like something's up here.
Yes. Something
it's
is
weird
a little,
that we're not seeing anybody murdered.
It is a little strange. And you really don't see any of the gore until a single moment, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't want to skip towards that yet, because there are a couple other people who die. Yeah. So while this is all going on, you've got the reserved character of, her name's Nan, I believe. I think Nan or Nan. I don't know.
Shana Nan. Bobby Brown.
Yeah. So Nan is pissed off at Muffy because I don't understand why I think they might have cut something out, because she's pissed off at Muffy because of one of the pranks.
They thought there was a baby in the cupboard.
Yeah. Yeah. She thought there was a baby in the cupboard.
But turns out it was a tape recorder.
It was a tape recorder.
Crying. Yeah.
And I didn't get that. Like, but I guess they somehow said that she had an abortion.
Right. Yeah. She thought she was making fun of her, but it was just a coincidence.
But actually, I think it was a coincidence. I don't think it was like, Muffy knew you had an abortion, so here's a crying baby tape in your cupboard.
It's like, hey, Susan, you going to go shave your back? And she runs out crying. It's like, dude, Susan shaves her back. I didn't know.
Yeah. So there's that whole thing that happens, and we never see her die.
No,
you never see her die, but she does.
Yeah, because at the end of the movie, she's just not around anymore.
She's not around anymore.
Oh, she's dead.
She's dead. And while all this is going on, Muffy kind of turns from the, you know, New England sex pot type Muffy that we had the night before, you know, at the dinner. Because she's like licking her lips at Biff and all that shit. You know, to kind of crazy.
To piss stain panning twigs in the hair.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Who carries around a dead squirrel.
You know? Yes. Her hair is all over the place. Yeah. She's wearing like plain clothes and it's just like, oh, would you all like some tea? I didn't know which kind of tea, so I brought them all. Like that's the type of mentality where, and so you're already thinking.
Well, there's a morning
she's the murder
where she's like clawing at a pan.
Yes,
and people are like, she's like, hey, I was hungry. Like, oh, I didn't think you'd all see me, and she like runs
away.
It's like, she seems a little odd.
She kind of Renfield it a little bit.
Renfield.
Yeah. So yeah, Muffy's gone a little off the mental wagon. Yeah. And you know, at this point in time, people start just dying one by one, you know? And, you know, we're left with a scene where they try to make tea, as I just mentioned, and the water is all clogged up with what looks like blood.
What looks like blood?
Yeah. It's fucking blood.
Yeah. That's not clogged up pipes. Like, and sometimes it's a little orange.
And Muffy's all just like, oh, the pipes sometimes get like that. They turn to blood?
Yeah.
You've got some bigger
issues. The Kennedys are across the water. Oh, dump it right there.
Yeah. So her pipes turn to blood, and she's like, "Oh, well, there is a well in the back."
I don't think they meant for it to be blood, but I think they failed horribly.
You know, it looks like blood.
It could have been green or orange or brown. But no, they pick.
Here's the thing.
Red.
I've been in homes that like vacation homes that have had shit. Pipes like that.
Yeah.
They don't turn brown like that, like blood, like and that thick. They're usually just water that's been tinged really deep orange or brown, like it's rust, you know? So, like, they overthought it and said, let's just have, like, red sludge that looks like blood. Okay? So, you know, that happens, and so Nikki and Harvey go out to the well. Okay.
Harvey.
Because he just wants to get his dick in one of them, you know?
Yeah.
If he can get Muffy, great, because
everybody wants to put something in something all weekend long.
That literally is it. And you might be saying, well, guys, this is a pretty crash episode. Well, sorry.
Yeah.
That's the
movie.
We're
not a 1986 slasher
movie. Sorry. Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, Harvey just wants to get his dick in either Muffy or Nikki. Yeah. For Muffy, mainly for his own reasons. He wants a job, and I guess Muffy's dad is like the head of some business or something like
business
that.
Business corp.
So he looks at it in terms of, yeah, like I can marry Muffy and get you money.
Yeah.
Or you can get Nikki and plow that field.
Yeah.
So
and I thought there was going to be some kind of reference to her being wet because they were trying to get the water from the well.
Yeah. So they're going to the well, and you know, they look down and Harvey drops the pail into the well, and he's like, oh, shit, the rope's bad.
Yeah.
And so he's too much of a pussy to co-climb down because I guess there's
railings
down there.
Well, she goes to hand him a flashlight, and she is just
high on
some kind of pain medication because she drops it immediately.
Well, I think she's high on Chaz's dick because they had sex the night before.
Right, yeah.
You know, so that's what's going on here, just to give you kind of the dynamics here.
Yeah.
So, you know, she drops the flashlight, it goes into the water, and then Nikki decides that she's going to climb down. Well, just like any normal horror movie would have, those railings going down the well, you know, one are old and rusted. And
they are not OSHA compliant.
So she falls into the well, and she's like, ah, shit, I'm in the water, blah, blah, blah. And around her are the head of Biff.
Yeah.
The head of who was the other? The head was it?
Well, there were
two
Blue
heads.
Shorts. You know, he died.
Blue Shorts.
Yeah. A lot of these characters are not. Yeah. There's three or four heads.
And Nan.
Basically, at this point, if you know everybody that has died on screen,
yes,
his head is in there.
Their head shows up. So. And Nan's body is there.
Yeah.
Like, she somehow ended up in the well.
Yeah.
We don't know how, but she just is.
Can't show them all.
No, can't show them all.
Yeah.
So, she's freaking the fuck out.
Yeah.
And at this point, this is when they decide, after they get her out of there, this is the point they decide that they need to call the constable. Yeah. So, the constable is like, oh, well, I'll be there in, what did they say, like a couple hours?
Yeah. And but they're like, it could be a couple hours, it could be a day.
Yes.
Like, nice little...
Yes.
That doesn't make any sense.
And
but.
This is also the first time where the constable mentions something to Rob and says, because Rob is the one who calls the constable and is like, gotta watch out for Muffy.
Yeah.
This is our first inkling that there might not be something right with Muffy. I mean, the audience has already known that she's lost it.
You're probably wondering why she has waste buckets full of feces everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah. And, this is where, in a quick succession...
But all these people have known Muffy for years. It's like, what an odd warning to have.
Yes.
Like, so you've known since you were six, like, watch out for that motherfucker.
Yeah. Yeah, wait, they've known Muffy for a long time.
It's not like all these people were straight. Like Clue, where right. Look out for Muffy. She's right. A little unhinged.
But. So the only people left at this point are Harvey, Nikki, and Rob and his girlfriend. And Muffy, of course. Okay?
Yeah.
So, oh, and Chaz. Chaz is still alive. Okay, Mr. Pervert cameraman.
Yeah.
So Chaz and Nikki, I guess, go to bed or just go to relax up in their room. And Chaz is like trying to make light of the situation. So he grabs the bondage mask that was, because that was one of the things that was in Nikki's room, was a bunch of bondage gear. Because it's supposed to be like, yeah, Nikki's really into bondage and shit. You know, which I'm like, so?
Yeah.
Big deal.
In 86, that was scandalous.
I guess 86, that was scandalous. Can't yeah. be into that sort of shit. But I guess she is. So, you know, he tries playing around, puts a mask on. And, of course, that's when the killer kills him.
And she leaves the room to go blow some ass.
She leaves to go blow some ass.
Can't have a man here.
Or
you
do
blow
a bump.
Ass.
Yeah. Or do a bump.
Yeah, both real quick.
She did a bump off the bathroom kitchen.
Okay.
Bathroom sink. Yeah. She did a bump off the bathroom sink. Yeah. And, you know, comes back, and I guess Chaz's dick has been ripped off.
Yeah, and it looks like he's just kind of, like, holding it like a little boy in church.
Yes.
Like, just cradling my penis in
my hand. And she's like, I'm not in the mood, or just put that thing away. And she moves his hand, and then it's ripped off.
Yeah. And, I mean, you know, this is another opportunity.
That wouldn't kill him?
Yeah, no.
That would just hurt.
Just ask John Wayne Bobbitt.
Yeah, John Wayne Bobbitt. Yeah. And ask him. I wouldn't kill him.
And this is another opportunity where the movie could have gone gratuitous gore, but all you kind of see is like a blood circle on his boxers.
Yeah, you don't even see necessarily like a full bloody stump.
Yeah.
You know, with some squirting blood. Because let's be honest here, you get that cut off, it's going to be blood all over the place.
Especially if he was as prepared.
Yes, and he might have been. Yeah, he probably was prepared.
Yeah.
So, yeah, at this point, also, somehow Nikki gets killed. We don't really see it.
You know, the weird thing is there are so many people in this movie, but, like, you don't
you never see them
so
get killed.
Many of them get off, yeah.
No, because what ends up happening is Rob and his girlfriend, they end up, you know, skulking around the mansion, and they come across, I guess, the office of you know, Muffy's dad, and they see that there one is a picture of Muffy and a sibling that looks just like her.
Mm-hmm.
And also in the corner are the dolls that she had set up before,
and there's all these dioramas,
the dioramas
of everything that happened,
like
the heads in the well.
Yeah So the heads in the well,
the,
and the couple
the
dolls
severed penis
left.
Boy on the bed
severed, and well, that's the thing, they see the severed penis boy on the bed. Yeah. Chaz and Nikki covered in blood.
Yeah.
And sure enough, a few seconds later, they walk into the room, and sure enough, they're dead.
Yeah.
We don't see how they died. They're dead. Blood all over the place. And that's when the shit really hits the fan. Because they then wandered down, I think they wandered down to where, like the basement?
Yeah. As you do.
You
know, everybody around
you
is dying, and there are dolls that are...
creepy dolls.
Wow, everybody's dying. Let's go to the basement.
Let's go to the creepy basement. Why not?
Yeah.
You know, of this mansion of horrors. And that's where they see that Muffy has a twin sister named Buffy.
Yeah.
Because I guess they did like markings on the wall.
Well, how
tall they were. Yeah. And that's when Rob kind of reveals that Muffy had, you know, they said Muffy's been in the institution for a while. And they're like, well, that's not possible.
Yeah.
She goes to Vassar. And they realize that Buffy
is actually... A nice woman's college.
Yes, a nice woman's college. That Buffy is actually who they've been talking with. Yeah. So they start running away from Buffy because she's the one with all the crazy hair. And, oh, they find Buffy's head.
Yeah.
That was it.
And you think, okay, this is our big twist.
What a twist.
Buffy's actually Buffy. This is the twist, but oh.
Oh, there's more.
Yeah.
So they're running around trying to you know, get away from Buffy. Buffy's got a knife out, and, you know, it's typical standard slasher fare.
Yeah.
And, you know, Rob's girlfriend, again, I'm terrible with names. It's probably on here. I'm just not seeing it. But, you know, Rob's girlfriend, it might be Clara.
The problem with this movie is, like, when you have 9 characters that aren't greatly defined, no. You just know them by looking at them. Yeah.
Blonde number 3.
Yeah.
Okay. So Rob's girlfriend runs into the dining room. And to her surprise, everyone is alive. Yep. Everyone is alive.
And they're all just like quietly chilling there.
Yeah. And like not even acknowledging that she's there. This is all while Buffy has got a knife, trying to force her way in, trying to kill her. You know, Rob is in a closet saying, get away from her, blah, blah, blah. You know,
I love you.
I love you. And I'm like, you're not doing shit, buddy. Like, you're in a closet. So, you know.
It's like Tom Cruise. He's just locked in that closet.
It is. Yeah. It's revealed that the whole movie, the whole setup has been just that. A fucking joke.
An April Fool's joke
on the audience. There is no Buffy.
Nobody's dead. Yeah.
No one has been injured. Like even going back to the first, you know, kill, if you want to call it that, you know, Buck having his eye gouged out, that was all fake.
Yeah.
All fake.
Because, yeah, he comes in and, like, peels off the wound, which I want to know if he's, like, under that boat, underwater, how did he apply that prosthetic?
It's a good question.
Yeah.
It's a very good question.
Yeah.
That cleanly,
yeah.
Of course, honestly. So everything's a joke. And, you know, Buffy reveals that this has all been kind of a dress rehearsal for a concept she has, which honestly is a really cool concept. Like when you think about it.
A murder mystery house. Yeah.
You know? And she's like, you guys were all kind of, no one was in on it except for like the constable, who actually wasn't the constable, but it was her uncle and the fairy guy. Yeah. And she brought in the special effects makeup artist who ended up being Buck. Yeah. So like those people all were in on it, but her friends weren't. And it wasn't until they died that they were in on the joke.
Yeah. And they were all just okay with this.
Yes.
You know,
everyone was fine.
Because they even made the joke, like, because, you know, Biff Tannen in the movie, he is, like, put upside down, and there's a snake. And he's like, oh, man, I almost sharted my pants. They're like, you did shart your pants. Like,
yeah.
So he was so terrified, he shit himself. And then it's like, hey, just kidding. Oh, that's hilarious, guys.
Yeah.
I can't wait to, like, have the joy the rest of my weekend.
Yeah, yeah.
So nobody is traumatized.
No one is traumatized at all by any of this stuff.
And the one guy has a knife. Like, the first victim has a knife, and the guy, like, you know, is able to pull his knife away from him. What if he just cut the ferryman's throat? Because, like, the killer's feet, I think, is the guy who's the captain of the ferry, right?
Right.
Yeah. So what if he just cut his throat? Like, oops.
Oops.
Yeah.
Sorry.
And are they going to do this to every guest? Like, are they going to, like, not tell them that this is all
elaborate? I don't know. I mean, she did say that none of the situations would be as extreme as this.
Yeah.
So she did say that. But, you know, as I said, it's a great concept. If it, you know, and I'm surprised no one's done that, like done something along these lines. My only guess would be like insurance liabilities. But the
unbelievable insurance
liabilities. So the whole point is that this was all kind of a joke. And, you know, the only person you see that might not be too happy about the joke is Nan.
Yeah.
She's the only one who's not really enjoying the revelry because they all start drinking champagne bottles and going crazy. And, you know, they're taking Muffy's dead head, the fake dead head, and pouring, like, champagne down it, which I'm like, that's a waste of good champagne.
Yeah.
You know?
It's also a waste of a very nice prosthetic.
That's a very nice prosthetic. I mean, like, yeah, those are really good ones.
And if you start kind of breaking all this down, like, there's so many plot holes. Like, I already had these prosthetic heads, but they looked exactly like
yes.
my guess. Like, that was convenient.
Yes, that was very convenient.
Yeah, and, like, what if, you know, that you hadn't fallen into the well?
Well, here's my whole thinking, too. Yeah. No one, like, touched the fake heads.
Yeah.
See, are they real?
Well, I guess the idea is, oh, my God, it's a head. I'm not going to touch it, you know.
I guess so, but, I mean, yeah. I'll be honest with you, they weren't really that convincing.
Yeah.
I thought they weren't that convincing, you know.
Yeah.
But that's just me. But I get the idea that the world of the movie is supposed to be these were convincing to them.
Well, it's tricky because you have to think of how the movie works within its own world, but you also have to understand that we're being tricked too. So the movie has to convince us as well.
Yeah.
So you also have to take into consideration, like, oh, it's also for the audience.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
That's watching the thing.
So the movie ends with after the whole party and everything, and Muffy goes back to her room and opens up a present that's just mysteriously there. And she opens it up, and it's another jack-in-the-box. And she has the whole sequence where she tries to open the jack-in-the-box and decides I'm not going to open it. And that's when Nan comes out and cuts her throat. And you're thinking, oh, shit!
Yeah.
This is the real shit!
Yeah.
No.
Another
joke.
Gotcha.
And you kind of get the feeling, at least I kind of got the feeling, that maybe Nan and Buffy were kind of in, Muffy were kind of in a relationship.
Maybe a little.
Did you get that little vibe? A little bit of vibe, like
maybe occasional Scissor Sisters after a couple apple teenies or two.
Oh God!
Hey, you want to sizzle a little bit? Yeah.
Well, she did say she was in drama.
we know those theater kids.
Yeah. So I mean, you kind of got like I got that vibe that maybe there's a little bit more to this, which is fine. That's cool. But yeah, this movie is. I can see why people might be pissed off. The end of it.
I think that this, I imagine this is very
polarizing. Because there are people out there who this movie, I imagine when they went into it thinking, oh God, it's going to be another slasher film. And it ends up being a fucking joke.
Yeah.
And I can imagine them being really angry that they spent money on a joke.
Well, I think this is probably a split. There are 50% of the audience is like, oh, cool. It's different. Like they twisted it. That's so fun. And then the other half, this is bullshit. Fuck this movie.
Yeah.
It's like you still got the deaths, like so just because they didn't really die, right. Like, what does it matter?
I mean, I will say, like, the deaths in this are very generic.
But they almost have to be because you can't actually show anybody being killed because they don't die.
See, I don't buy that, you know? Because they did that with the whole knife thing. They clearly showed the knife going into you know, the guy's, stomach.
Right.
And that looked more realistic than anything else that was done.
But he was in on the gag. Like, they can't, like, after Biff gets, like, flipped upside down, they can't come and cut his head off, you know?
No, but you know what I mean. Like, you could make it in a way where, I get what you're saying. Like, you can't actually just show someone getting their head cut off because clearly that's not really what's happening. But I don't know. I just felt like they were very generic.
Well, they were stuck, right? Like, because if you got that big twist, how do you do gore? How do you do suspense and terror in that way, but without showing anything? Because that's the big selling point of these movies is watching a head get chopped off or, you know, before Saw, this was our gore porn, you know, these kind of
it's
movies.
It's true.
Yeah.
It's true. It's true.
But yeah, I thought it was a cool way to subvert the genre. And
I hate that word. We both hate that word.
Yeah.
you're subverting expectations. Subverting
expectations. This is the last Jedi of slasher movies.
See, you thought you were going in to just see a normal slasher movie, but boom, it's all a joke.
But it was better than Last Jedi because there was no Mark Hamill dead eyes.
Oh. And alien titty milk.
Yeah. He had a look on his face when he was drinking that titty milk, like, what did I sign up for? There goes my legacy. Hopefully they don't redo Batman the Animated Series and have the Joker drink titty milk. Yeah, titty milk, Batman. But what? Oh, there's more Batman references. But, yeah, no, I like that it was, you know, a different take on it because and because if you don't like that, like, if every one of these movies are exactly the same, which they are, mm-hmm. at least there's one that, like, did something a little different and a little unique.
You know, I put this in the same category as movies like Student Bodies.
Yeah.
You know, like, that are more or less trying to poke fun
at tongue-in-cheek at it,
the
yeah.
genre. Yeah. So I don't, and honestly, like, I love Student Bodies. I think that's a great horror parody. But I do like the fact that this movie is trying to do some of that while also trying to stay serious. And that is that's a tough nut to crack.
Yeah.
Honestly, you're trying to be a joke, but at the same time trying to play it off and really, like, not let the audience in that this is a joke.
Yeah.
You know, that's a hard thing to do. And I think, like, it's hard for us now to really appreciate that because I imagine that the publicity for this movie was very much in on the gag. So,
oh, yeah.
trying to not give away that this is a parody, that none of the deaths in this are real, that it is all a joke. So you kind of have to play it up as, oh, this is a real horror movie. You know, just like you would have with, Christmas horror movies and Valentine's Day horror movies, that this is another one of those types of horror movies, only it is a joke. So I think it's a tough position for this film to be in because, as you said, you know, 50% hate it, 50% probably love it. So I didn't hate this movie, but at the same time, I can't really appreciate it because it's been so well known that this was kind of like the joke horror movie.
Yeah.
You know?
And the thing is, you know, she's not on the show for this episode, but I did watch this with Lane, and people always say, oh, if you predicted the ending, then you were already spoiled on it. Halfway through watching this, Lane's like, yeah, none of them are dead. This is a big
deal. Did she see this movie before?
No. No. Okay. This is, yeah, when I rewatched it for this episode, she was watching it with me, and she's like, none of them are dead. This is all just a big April Fool's prank. And I was like, well, I heard that you should never be able to predict that. And I saw the movie when I was like 12, so I was an idiot. So I was like, whoa!
No, but yeah. I can, like, for me, I had known that the gag was already there
mm-hmm.
because this has always been one that's come up, you know, in top tens and things like that of you know, greatest horror movies because it is so different.
Yeah.
Because it does, I hate to say it, subvert expectations. In a good way.
Did Ryan Johnson direct this?
Yeah. So, you know, this movie is absolutely one that you should probably see. But if you're expecting a great horror movie, this ain't it.
Yeah.
Like, this really isn't it. You're there watching this for the gag. You know, yeah. I think so.
I say, like, if you want, like, four slasher movies, if you want the prototype slasher movie, the best slasher movie, the joke slasher movie, and the big, like, subvert expectations ones, you should watch Prom Night, Halloween,
Student Bodies,
and this movie.
Yes.
You know? And those are the four types of slasher movies that you can
absolutely
see, you know.
Absolutely. Wow. I think that's all I got.
Yeah, I mean,
this, there's not a whole lot, you know.
Well, because, like, you know, I remember the poster actually is pretty neat where the girl is standing there with a knife behind her back and her hair is in a noose, you know, and everybody's at, like, a table looking to have a good time. Like, and you think, you know, the poster, you know, the trailers, everything is like, oh, they're setting this up to be a run-of-the-mill slasher movie. And then they
you know, are.
And the thing is, it's interesting how the movie is set up. Like, there's all these, like, funny confessionals on, you know, 80s sitcom guys, video camera, you know, and, like, they're not super funny, but you can tell that, like, the actors are allowed to kind of just riff a little bit.
Right.
You know, and these aren't your typical slasher movie characters. This isn't a typical slasher movie.
No.
You know, it's shot, like, very cleanly. Like, there's no, like, dark corridors. I mean, there is here and there. But, you know, and everybody is kind of, like, funny and goofy and having a good time. And there's no extreme tension built up through the whole thing. So it's not your prototypical slasher
movie in the
first place.
It's not. It does have characters that clearly fit those tropes. So it does fall in line with what slasher movies do have in terms of tropes, like, you know, snot nose and sex pot, you know, girls and you know, the jock.
Sleazy guy, jock guy.
Yeah, it has all those people.
Prudish girl.
Yes, yeah. It does. But that's what I'm saying. Like, those are the character tropes that you see in every slasher movie.
Yeah.
And it does have that, But it also kind of has that gag that runs through the whole thing. What I do notice about the poster, because I'm looking at it right now, and this is a common thing in 80s poster design. If you ever look at a poster from the 80s or box art, you'll notice that none of the people in the poster actually appear in the movie.
Yeah.
Like, and look at this. None of the actors, none of the characters are in the movie that are on the box art.
One of the worst cases of that is Nightmare on Elm Street 3, Dream Warriors.
Yes.
Because the thing is,
yes.
The poster artist is hired way before that. I think they even cast the movie.
Oh, yeah.
And they're given a description of these characters.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then it's like, okay, I got to try to draw them from what they sound like on paper. You know, and then you get the poster and it just doesn't match who they cast in the movie.
No,
and you just hope they didn't change the race.
Yes.
You know?
Pretty much. Yeah. Pretty much. But I just want to make that note here. So, yeah, that's April Fool's Day, folks.
Yeah. It's a fun movie.
It is a very fun movie.
You know, and the thing is, like, if you like watching Groundhog's Day on Groundhog's Day, or, you know, New Year's Eve on New Year's Eve, or, you know, any of the holiday themed movies, like, definitely check this one out at least once. It's fun. You know,
it is very fun. I will give that.
And it's well made.
Yeah. And the nice thing too is, like, there are a lot of times when you're watching a movie where, especially when you're at home, where the movie kind of doesn't hold your attention, you know, enough for you to look away from your phone. I watched this, and there wasn't one time that I was looking at my phone.
Yeah.
I was pretty much locked in on the movie, and it's hard to do that nowadays. So it's definitely worth watching. I will be honest with you, it's not the greatest slasher movie out there at all.
No.
But if you're looking for a holiday movie for April Fool's Day, this is pretty much your only one you could pull from.
But make sure it says 1986, because I think
they remade this. They did remake it, and I have not seen the remake. My guess is that it's probably shit.
It was probably like the Christmas Evil remake or Silent Night, Deadly Night
Night, Deadly Night. Yeah. Oh, no, they did Black Christmas.
Well, no, they did all three, I think.
Oh, they did?
Yeah.
Oh, that hurts. Yeah. That hurts. Oh, man. Well, John, where can they find you at on the Twitter machine?
The Unreal Jables.
Where can they find Lane?
LA underscore Croft.
Oh, you remember this time.
Yeah. Unlike a couple weeks ago.
Yeah. You can find me at Brian Carrington. I was on the Psycho Show page. Be sure to like us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Google+, at Psycho Show. You can also find us on the Epicast Network or epicastnetwork.com. If you have a favorite movie or question you want to throw away, you want to talk to us about your practical jokes that you'd like to play on people that seem like murder, you can contact us at cinemapsychoshow.com. And make sure to subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts and iTunes. Send us a rate, send us a review. We love getting those. And we will see you next time.
Surprise twist, none of us died either, because we're already dead.
Epicast.